This morning we're going to head back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We just started looking at this chapter and really at Paul's discussion about spiritual gifts there in the church of Corinth. And as we mentioned, that instruction will go through the next three chapters. Chapter 12, 13, and 14 all deals with spiritual gifts. And so it is obviously a very important topic, not only for that church, but also for our church. This is something that the Lord not only inspired, but also preserved for us today. And so it's important for us to consider it in detail and to be able to learn more about it in order to use our gifts in the right way. He begins by reminding us in those first three verses, which we considered last week, of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Not only the gifts, but the goodness of the Holy Spirit, as we saw in verse 2, to draw us from our past into the very presence of the Holy Spirit, to be able to now have a change wrought in our life, and a change in not only our condition, but even in our service and our activities for the Lord. Remember, we were Gentiles, not only nationally, but even religiously, carried away into those dumb idols, those voiceless idols, even as we were led. But thank God there's been a change. Thank God that the Holy Spirit has changed us and we have become a new creation, a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are now become new. So now we can truly have these gifts and serve God through them. We also learned the grace of the Holy Spirit last week and how in verse 3 we learned even our ability to believe and even to say that Jesus is Lord is something that is done in us and through us by the working of the Holy Spirit. He says in verse 3 that no man can say, and no man could truly believe and truly say it with that understanding of that saving grace of God, that Jesus is their Lord, but by the Holy Spirit. So obviously, Paul is trying to correct some misunderstandings that they had about the Holy Spirit, and also trying to show us how we ought to use what has been given to us by the Holy Spirit in service for Him. You know, we owe God so much. You know, Greg was talking about the love of God, and we ought to be thanking Him for that. But there's so much that we owe Him for. We owe Him because of the gift of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit that He's provided to us. We owe Him so much. And so we're going to start looking more closely at those spiritual gifts given by God through the Holy Spirit to His church. And by church, we mean every genuine, born-again, spirit-regenerated Christian that we've considered even last week. If you are truly saved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, not only has He given you the gift of eternal life, but He's also given you the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so that's what these chapters are all about. The Holy Spirit has been given to influence us and to even indwell us. And today, as we begin, I want you to realize that when the Holy Spirit came into your life as a Christian, He brought something with Him. It's something that we call, that Paul described as spiritual gifts. Something we must all remember today is that every Christian has a spiritual gift or spiritual gifts, and these chapters are going to explain how we're to use them. I'd like us to read our text here for this morning, beginning in verse 4 through verse 11. Paul writes, "Now there are diversities or differences of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations or ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities and differences of operations or accomplishments, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation or the display of the Spirit is given to every man in order to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. And to another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse, various kinds of tongues, languages. And to another, the interpretation of languages. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will." Something we need to remember about the church. The church is different than any other organization that is out there today. Even though our church may be incorporated under the state of Indiana and the laws of the state of Indiana, a church really is different than any company that you've ever worked for or currently work for. Think about maybe when you got hired into the company that you're currently working for. You got into a company through what you often have to offer them. In fact, when you write up your resume, put on your application, you're trying, as some people have described it, sell yourself. You're wanting to show them what you have in order to be hired on. You're trying to impress them. You're trying to sell yourself to them. And they will hire you if and when you have something that they want, something that they need. And so often, they'll go through resume after resume after resume, application after application after application, and reject those until they find the one that they need. It's kind of like the NFL draft. They're looking for specific people, for specific places and positions, because this is something that they need. But you know, it's not how the church is formed. It's entirely different in the organization of the church. You see, you and I come into the church, which is the body of Christ. It's an organism, not just an organization. We come into the body of Christ through what Jesus has to offer us, not what we have to offer Him. It's not because of who we are that we're saved and enter into the church, or what we have. It's because of what we need and what God offers through Jesus to us. So what we find when we come to this church and when we come to these specific spiritual gifts, a spiritual gift is not something that you have to offer God before you're saved. It's not something that you have that God oh so desires and so needs. Sometimes we think that as Christians. If only we had so-and-so as part of our church, some celebrity. Boy, what a great statement and what a great impact he would make for God. That's not how the church was organized. That's not how it was to work. A spiritual gift is not something we have before we're saved, like the talents or maybe things that you develop as you go through education and training. A true spiritual gift, the kind of gift that Paul is describing here in chapters 12, 13, and 14, is something that you and I are given when we're saved through the Holy Spirit. It's something different than even the talents that we have, though we can use those talents and those gifts. But a gift is something different because it is something given to us when we're saved so we can function together as a church with other Christians. I want us to remember today that every Christian, you and I included, have a spiritual gift or spiritual gifts. And this morning we're going to start learning more about those gifts and why we were given those gifts and even how we should use those gifts. So the question I want us to consider today is this. Are you neglecting your spiritual gift? It is a truth that everyone who is a child of God, everyone who is a genuine born-again Christian, everyone who is a true member of the Church of Christ has a spiritual gift. Are you neglecting it? Or is it something that you are using? Are you using within the body of Christ? Are you using for the glory of God? Or is it something that perhaps you are unaware of and not using? Are you neglecting your spiritual gift? If you're a Christian, could you even recognize a true spiritual gift if you saw one or even heard one? Well, if you are a Christian, you have one. And we're going to see today that we should not neglect our spiritual gift. In 1 Timothy 4:14, Paul wrote another letter there in the New Testament to a young pastor named Timothy. And Timothy also had some spiritual gifts. These were not talents and abilities that he brought into the church before he was saved. This is gifts that he had given to him by the Holy Spirit after he was saved. And so what Paul tells him in 1 Timothy 4:14 is what we need to remember as well today. He told Timothy, that pastor there in the church of Ephesus, neglect not the gift that is in thee. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. And that is something that we need to learn and apply today about our spiritual gifts. Are you, and am I, are we neglecting our spiritual gifts? As Paul told Timothy, neglect not the gift. And today we're going to see why. Three reasons why we're not to neglect whatever spiritual gift God has given to us. First reason, do not neglect your spiritual gift because of God's plan for your gift, for our gifts. Do not neglect it because of God's plan. We see God's special plan in verses 4 through 6. These are some amazing verses. We could spend a lot of time looking at these verses because it is put in the form of a doctrinal statement. This is God's plan for gifts within the church and within the body of Christ. He says, now there are diversities or differences of gifts, and we're aware of that, but they all come from the same Spirit, the same source. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. You see, God has a special plan for our gifts. He has a special plan for the gifts that He gives to all of His people. And this plan is one of the great honors for each one of us. Not only is it an honor for us to know God as our Savior, but it's an honor for us to have been given a gift. A spiritual gift that He wants us to use in the context of His church and among His people. God works. And this is amazing to think about. God, the Almighty God, the God who there in verse 6, it says He works all in all. That means He doesn't just dabble in a few things. You've probably heard the phrase, I'm a jack of all trades, but a master of none. God isn't that way. He's a master of all trades. He doesn't just dabble in a few things. He doesn't just dabble in all things. He works all things in all things. He is a powerful God, and yet He has a plan for using our gifts. God works through His church, through His people, through their spiritual gifts to accomplish His work in the church and in the world. And that's amazing. He invites us, as unworthy sinners as we are, He invites us to come and join Him in His work. And we can do so. What an honor and a privilege to use the gift that He's given us to serve Him and to serve His church. This is how God works in the church. And we see His plan for our gift there in those three verses. The first part of His plan is there in verse 4. We see the first part of His plan is the enabling of our gifts. This is how we get our gifts, the enabling of our gifts. You see, any and all of our gifts are given to us by and enabled by the Holy Spirit of God. And that's what teaches there in verse 4. He says, now there are diversities or different gifts. But guess where they come from? They come from the same Spirit. Who? The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. Now, a few key points about this verse and about this particular point. We see that there are gifts. He says there are diversities of gifts. There are gifts. The source of these gifts is God, the Holy Spirit. God gives gifts. What a wonderful truth. But it also says that there are a variety of gifts. There are diversities of gifts. There are all kinds of gifts that God gives to His people. And some gifts are given in greater measure to one person and maybe in a lesser measure to another. And so God gives gifts, many different kinds of gifts, many measures of gifts. But one thing we must remember about whatever gift you have, whatever measure of your gift, is that they all come through the Spirit of God. He is the source of all of these gifts. And we need to remember that it is the Holy Spirit who enables any spiritual gift that we have. You see, it seems like in the church in Corinth at this time that they were having some struggles with an understanding of their gifts. They had some, as we're going to see, some amazing, extraordinary, even miraculous gifts that God had given that church. Things that we look at and we are amazed at what was there. And yet they didn't have a full understanding of where it all came from and what they were all for. And so some of them perhaps said, wow, that person has an incredible gift, and yet I don't really have that. Where's my gift? And perhaps someone who had a great gift that was visible to all, they would take great pride in that gift and demean the others that perhaps didn't have that gift. And so there was some controversy, there was some division, there was some strife caused by these gifts. And God says, no, that's not the way it's supposed to be. There are various kinds of gifts and various measures of gifts. It doesn't come from you, it comes from God. It comes from the same God. And it doesn't matter what your gift is. What matters is using the gift God has given you because it's from Him. And so we need to make sure that we're not covering these things out of strife and out of division. We need to remember that it's the Holy Spirit who enables any spiritual gift we have. And it is our honor to have those gifts. It is our honor for God to use those gifts in our lives to continue His work in this world. That's the first part of His plan there in verse 4. That is the enabling of our gifts. But then we see the second part of His plan there in verse 5, and that is the exercise of our gifts. I want you to picture with me how many Christians even are in our church. And then think about how many Christians there might be in the churches around Greenfield. And think about how many Christians there are in the state of Indiana, Think about how many believers are part of the body of Christ throughout the whole country and even how across the whole world. People we've never met before. People that we've never heard of before. People that are even being persecuted. And guess what? God has given various gifts to every single one of them. But then, how we use our gifts can also be in various ways. God may have given you a gift, a special gift. And now you can use that gift in various ways and in different opportunities. And that's what he says there in verse 5. This is the exercise of our gifts, and it's all part of his plan. We are to exercise, and we are to use any and all of our gifts in service to the Lord, who is our Master, who is our Savior, Jesus Christ. He says this in verse 5. And there are differences of administrations. That word administration has the idea of ministries or services. There's offices in the church. There's pastors and teachers. There's shepherds. There's deacons. Things like that. But it also could apply to just different kinds of ministries. There might be people that have a particular gift that they work together and they form a service. They form a ministry in dealing with that gift. And he says there's all kinds of opportunities to serve. There's all kinds of ways that you can use your gift that God has given you. I've had people ask me before, I really don't know what to do as part of the church. I don't really know what to do as a Christian. If they were to understand what their gifts are and think about what God has enabled them to do, there are untold ways to use their gifts within the church. And so that's the idea here. There are differences. There are a great variety of operations and administrations, but the same Lord. See, those ministries and those services that God has for us, they are opportunities ultimately to serve the Lord. And there are so many different ways, so many different kinds of service. But we need to remember that the Lord is the Lord of us all. We need to remember that it is the Lord Jesus Christ that we serve. And this also governs how we serve, how we use our gifts. No matter how we use them, no matter where we use our gifts, no matter to whom we use our gifts, we are all answering the Lord. We're all to follow the example of the Lord in our service, in these administrations, in these ministries, in these opportunities for service. Some of you might have read the book by Charles Sheldon titled In His Steps. I remember as a young college student, I read this book, and it was from where people get the WWJD, What Would Jesus Do? But there's so much more to that phrase in that book, and I would encourage you, if you haven't read it, to do so, because it shows what can happen to a church who takes their gifts and then uses it in whatever opportunities that God provides to them, in any kind of door that is open, they use their gifts and they ask the question as they serve, what would Jesus do? How would Jesus do it? In humility, in service, in compassion, in love, in graciousness, in generosity. Think about how Jesus served the disciples even when he went down and washed their feet. Think of the humiliation that was involved that, but also the love and the compassion. We are to serve Him as our Lord with whatever gift we have. And that is the exercise of our gifts. But then the third part of His plan is found there in verse 6. It is the effect of our gifts. Again, I want you to picture with me not only how many millions and billions perhaps of believers have gifts, but then think of all the different ways you can use your gifts. It's kind of like the spoke on a wheel. Perhaps you have one gift, and that is the spoke. And you can use that gift in so many different ways and to so many different people. And then even beyond that, God can use those services and accomplish incredible things. But we see there in verse 6 that there are diversities of operations or effects. This is God's working. God works in different ways. Like the song that says, God works in mysterious ways. His wonders to perform. Sometimes we don't know how God is working, and yet He is, and yet He does. There are diversities of operations or effects and accomplishments, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. We need to remember the effect of our gifts. You see, no matter what gift God has given you, no matter what outlet God has given to you to use those gifts, it is God who is the one working and accomplishing His will through the use of our gifts. He is the one who brings about His desired effects through our service. And there are so many different results that we can find through our gifts. It's kind of like the parable of the sower. in Mark chapter 4, talked about the sower sowing the seed, and it went to different types of soil. There's good soil, there's rocky soil, there's hard soil, and we understand all this. But in Mark 4:20, when it talked about how some fell in good soil, I mean, we see the accomplishment, the work of God, even through the gifts and the service of someone who is sharing the Word of God and the Gospel, the results were different, weren't they? In Mark 4:20, it says, "These are they which are sown on good ground, and such as hear the Word and receive it and bring forth fruit." Does everyone bear the same kind of fruit, the same amount of fruit? No, because he says in Mark 4:20, there are some who bear forth 30-fold fruit, or some 60 and some 100. What's the difference? What's the difference? Is the difference because someone was a better Christian than another? Or is the difference because someone had a better gift than another? The difference is what we find there in verse 6. The operation of God is it's the same God that works all in all. His results, His operations, His work is something that He can do to bring about whatever He wants. You see, we need to remember that it is God who is the sovereign God. And even when we have gifts and we're using those gifts for His glory, it is God that is using those gifts to accomplish His will. You know, there are a lot of companies that try to excel in just one thing, in one mission. Google, you think Google is everywhere, and they pretty much are. But Google really has one mission, and that is to catalog all the world's information. Information is their key. That is their mission. That is their goal. Or Walmart. They may have all sorts of products on the shelves, but they really have one mission, and it comes up with through their logo, to save money and to live better. They really want you to save money. They're going to have all these different varieties, but their goal is to save you money. And so what we find out here is that even though there are all sorts of gifts in the Church of God, even though there are all kinds of ways to use those gifts, isn't it amazing that God can take all that great variety and still accomplish His will? Still accomplish what He wants to do? You see, God and the church is so unlike the world and the CEOs of those corporations. God is working all in all. Not just some in all, but all in all. God is the one who is working through your gifts, through our services, to accomplish His will. And God invites us to participate. These three remarkable verses show us God's amazing plan for our spiritual gifts. We see His enabling of our gifts. We see the exercise of our gifts. We see the effects of those gifts. God is working through His church, through His people, through their spiritual gifts. And another thing that we see in these three verses is the Trinity, don't we? The Trinity is completely engaged in the church, completely at work in the church through our spiritual gifts. Again, look at verse 4. God the Holy Spirit is the ultimate source of all of our spiritual gifts. God the Son, who is Lord, is the ultimate servant who gives us the example of how to serve. In verse 6, we see that God the Father is ultimately sovereign in how He uses those gifts. And when we use the gifts that God has given to us, He is at work. You might wonder, I don't see God at work. If you're using your gifts, He is at work. And we may not know the result. We may not know or see the accomplishment. But it is His working, His will through His people. It's what we find in Romans 11:36. It says, "For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." If we use the gifts that God has given to us, He is at work, and it will be for His glory. You see, only God can use in an exponential way the variety of gifts, the variety of ministries, and bring about a great variety of results and still accomplish His will through them. I love what Psalm 104, verse 24 says. It says, "O Lord, how manifold are Thy works. How manifold, how many, what a great variety are Your works. In wisdom You have made them all. The earth is full of Your riches." In all of this, do you see that God has a plan for your gift? Do not neglect your gift, because when you do use it, no matter what your gift is, God is working through it, and God is getting glory from it. So He says, do not neglect your spiritual gift. But then second thing, the reason why we ought not to neglect it, is because of God's purpose for your gift. Look at verse 7. Just one verse, we see that God has a purpose for your gift. He says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all," or to profit everybody. Not only did God have a special plan for the gift He gives, but He also has a special purpose for the gift that He gives to all His children. And when you use your gift, you are fulfilling that purpose for Him. What are some of those purposes that we see in verse 7? We see the purpose of display. The purpose of display. These gifts that we're going to read here, the gifts that God gives to us, are described in verse 7 as a manifestation of the Spirit. To manifest means to display something, to show something. Today, we had a manifestation of the sun. As we were coming to church this morning, the clouds were gone. In fact, I told my wife, "There's not a cloud in the sky." We found a couple. And it was displaying the beautiful sunshine. And what we find in these gifts, the gifts that God gives to every one of His people, is a manifestation, a display of the Spirit of God. A spiritual gift will display the Holy Spirit. A spiritual gift will display the Spirit to you, the one who has the gift. Do you know that to see the spiritual gift in your life is one of the great confirmations that you have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ? You see, Romans 8:9 says that a Christian is not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. If any man does not have the Spirit of God, he's none of his. If there's no evidence of the Spirit of God in your life, you've got to wonder, are you a Christian? But if there's gifts in your life from the Spirit of God, it's a confirmation. It's an evidence that you are, in fact, a Christian. It displays the Spirit of God to you. But it also displays the Spirit to comfort you. It shows that He cares about you, that individually, God has given you a gift, and He cares for you, and He wants you to use that gift. But it also displays the Spirit of God to others. It shows the church the Spirit. It shows the world the Spirit of God. And that's part of the purpose of your gift. Do you realize that if you're not exercising your gift, you're hiding your light under a bushel? That's what you're doing. You're hiding your light under a bushel. And the world, the church, others cannot see the Spirit of God at work in your life. So don't neglect your gift. Don't neglect your gift. Let that light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That is the purpose, to display the Spirit of God. But we also see in verse 7, part of the purpose is that of dependence. These gifts of the Holy Spirit, it says, are given to every man. Now, of course, that does not mean and cannot mean every man in the world, because not every man has the Spirit of God in them. It's talking about the church. It's talking about Christians. It's talking about every person who is truly saved and part of the body of Christ. If you're a Christian, He has given to you and every one of you a gift. That not only shows that every Christian has been given a gift, but also every gift is important and is valuable. And is useful and is necessary. Do you realize that as a church, even though our church may be small, in our church, we need each other. You realize that? If you see that in verse 7, that gift, that manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. And so the gift that God has given you, and the gift that God has given you, and the gift that God has given me is important, it is valuable, and it is useful, and we need each other. And we need each other's gifts. And if we are not exercising those gifts within our church, we are losing out on some things. We're losing out on some things. We are not to neglect our gifts. We are not to neglect our gift because we cannot function the way God fully intended for us to, even as a smaller church. These gifts are given to show us our dependence, not only on the Spirit of God, but on each other. But then in verse 7, we further find the main reason God has given these gifts. It is the purpose of development. The phrase that He uses is to profit one another, to profit with all, to help each other. Do you know that your gift is not given to you to divide the church? And that's what was going on in Corinth. There were some that had great gifts that we're going to see that could be seen by everybody. And they took pride in what they had. And they said, look at what I can do and look at what I can say. And what was going on was it was dividing the church. It was causing strife and dissension and discord. That's not what it was for. Sometimes people will even think that those gifts can discourage people in the church. There are some even perhaps in our church that may say, well, my gift is relatively small and minor and maybe even insignificant compared to that person's gift and what they can do. But that's not what these gifts were for either. All gifts, your gift, my gift, is given to develop the church, to develop one another, especially as we grow together in our service for the Lord. I like what Matthew Henry reminds us. He says that our gifts are not for show, but for service. Our gifts are not for show, but for service. He adds this, these gifts were not distributed for the mere honor and advantage of those who have them, but for the benefit of the church, to edify the body, to spread and advance the gospel. So do not neglect your gift. You have a gift if you're a Christian. You have a gift if you're a child of God. Do not neglect it. Whatever it is, He has a purpose for it, a special purpose for every single one of His children, to bring growth to His people and to bring glory to Himself. And we need to keep that in mind and use those gifts to their fullest extent. But we also need to not neglect our spiritual gift, third, because of God's provision for our gift. In verses 8 through 11, we see the special way in which God gave us these gifts. We don't just see what He gives, but also how He has provided these gifts. This is His provision of gifts. And we are to use them in humility because of how He gave them to us, with honor and even with passion. A lot of times when we come to these passages, maybe you've heard messages about it, we focus so much on these gifts and these individual gifts. But I want to look at these gifts, I think, the way the context describes. They were as examples of gifts in that church. And I think these particular gifts may have been the ones that they were struggling with the most. That's why they're mentioned. So we find here a list of several different gifts. In fact, there are 9 of them in this passage. And these were gifts that were present in that Corinthian church. And in looking at this list, we just need to remember why that list is there. It is to show the differences of those gifts. It's to show the great variety of those gifts. That's the point of those verses. This is not an exhaustive list of gifts. One reason we know this is because there are other lists, like in Romans 12, that describe other gifts. So this is not an exhaustive list. This is not just all the gifts that we're going to find in the church. There are a lot of other gifts that God gives to His people through the Spirit. Some may be listed, but many, and I believe probably most gifts, you won't find in a list in the Bible. But perhaps the ones that were listed are the ones that they had issues with. These here, these 9 that are mentioned, were some of the most visible gifts in that church that were causing difficulty and even discord within the church. Some were proud of what they had. Others were discouraged because they didn't have those visible gifts. So it's not an exhaustive list of gifts, nor is this a permanent list of gifts. Because later on, we're going to see that some gifts do cease. In fact, if you just go over a page in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8, Paul says, whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. And we're going to see prophecies in that list of gifts. Whether there be tongues, and we're going to see that in the list of gifts, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. So when we come to this list, we're not to be looking for all of these gifts in every church and in every time period. We're not to be looking to see, well, who has the gift of prophecy in our church or the gift of healing in our church. No, we need to remember that all gifts are given by the Spirit to accomplish His plan and His purpose, His goal for that church and at that time. We need to know that there are different operations in different churches. God has a special plan for our church, a special operation, a special accomplishment in mind for our church. You see, God, I believe, also had a special purpose for some of these sign gifts that did stop in the past. But God has other special gifts that perhaps our church in this culture need versus what they needed in that time. So what is the Lord teaching us through this list? Primarily, He's teaching us the differences of His provision of gifts. The differences of His provision. He is simply illustrating for us what He said in verse 4. Remember verse 4? There are differences, diversities of gifts. Here's an example. Here's an example. Beginning in verse 8, he says, "For to one," and then he says, "to another, to another, to another." He goes on down through verse 10. 9 times he says, "to one or to another." In other words, every Christian has a different gift. Different in what has been given to them, or different even in the measure and the degree of that gift given. Some gifts might be similar to others, but I do believe that the gifts given to the Christians in His church, not just ours, but the church universal, the gifts given are like the snowflakes that fall to the ground. No two Christians are alike, are they? And I believe that no two gifts are alike, either in what is given, the type of gift, or even the measure of gift. And that shows us that none of us are duplicated. All of us need each other, and we need each other's gifts. Now, some are common, and some may be very unique, but whatever gift you have, it is special, it is to be fostered, it is to be developed, and it is not to be neglected. And so he gives us 9 gifts that are mentioned specifically. Just a few comments about each one of those quickly. In verse 8, we see the word of wisdom. The word of wisdom. This likely would have been a gift to someone to especially share the wisdom of God and the gospel. It was probably a gift used by an evangelist or maybe an effective soul winner. We have people in our church that love to share the gospel and are good at it. God has given them great fruit. And that's not to say that it's them, but it's God working through their gift in them. The word of wisdom. Verse 8 talks about the word of knowledge. This would imply someone who's been gifted in a special way to explain the teachings of God and the teachings of His Word. It's a gift of a biblical teacher. Brother Greg mentioned Charles Stanley. He is a gifted teacher. There are some people that you can just sit back and soak in and listen and just hang on every word, and they've been given a gift of teaching of the Word of God. In verse 9, it talks about the gift of faith. I think this talks about a special measure of trust that can give someone courage and strength and boldness to serve the Lord and to witness for the Lord even when there's danger and difficulty in the world. I think of some of the people back when they were facing martyrdom and the measure of faith that God gave them to take a stand, a firm stand on the Word of God. What a gift that He gave them. Verse 9 also talks about gifts of healing, a special ability, at least at that time, to help others with their physical problems. It's like when Jesus sent His apostles out, He told them, heal the sick, and they could heal the sick. That wasn't their ability, but it was the Spirit of God's gift to them to do so. In verse 10, it talked about a gift, and again, all of these were at work in the church in Corinth. What an incredible place! He talks about the working of miracles and a special ability to accomplish great feats for the Lord. Now, this doesn't, again, speak to the greatness of the person, but the greatness of the Lord. Again, like what we saw in the apostles and some of the miracles that they performed. Verse 10 talks about the gift of prophecy, not just a gift to predict, which God had done in the past through prophets and even through the apostles, but this could also be the gift to proclaim God's Word, a preaching gift, if you will. In verse 10, it talks about discerning of spirits. There might have been Christians there who had a special ability to even discern the hearts of men. Peter had this ability when Simon the sorcerer came to him, and he wanted the gift of the Holy Spirit like they had. And Peter knew exactly what was going on in his heart. Where did that come from? That discerning of spirits came directly from the Spirit of God. It talks about in verse 10, diverse kinds of tongues. Now, again, this is something that is common in the charismatic churches. That word tongue really has the idea of languages, other languages. Languages that are known, languages that can be learned. But in this context, it was languages that they were just given knowledge of without any training. It was a gift. We see that at work in Acts 2:4 when the disciples were able to speak languages that they were untrained in. They didn't have to use Rosetta Stone for this. But they shared with many, it says, the wonderful works of God. People were amazed that they could hear God's work in their own language. Verse 10 also talks about the gift of the interpretation of tongues. This was the ability of some, having not studied those languages, to be able to translate from one language to another the wonderful works of God as well. Incredible, wonderful gifts. It would have been an amazing sight to see there in the Corinthian church, that early church. It is just as amazing and just as incredible to see God using you with your gifts to accomplish His work in us and through our church.
This is amazing.
Why? We may not have the gifts of learning languages without having to, you know, study for a long time, or having to translate languages, or the gift of healing. We think those are incredible. But what about the gift of hospitality and the gift of loving others and the gift of giving and generosity and gifts like that that are within our own church? It's just as amazing. Why? Because it's the same Lord, the same Spirit that's working in and through all of those gifts through His people. That is the differences of His provision. But then we come to verse 11, the last verse of our text, where we see the design. What is this all for? What is the purpose of all these gifts? The design of His provision? He says, but all these. All what? All those gifts. Not just the nine listed, but all the other ones that might have been there in that church. All of those gifts, all of those displays of the working of the Spirit of God, all of those operate and work that one and self-same Spirit. He is the source of it all. And He is the one that divides to every man severally as He will. He's the one that gives the gift that He wants that church to have and that Christian to have. He knows what we need, when we need it, why we need it, and He gives it to us to accomplish His will. As amazing as some of the gifts given to the Corinthian church were, the point is that it is the Holy Spirit that is working in and through that church. It's not me with my gift. It's not you with your gift. It's God working through our gifts. That's the point. No matter what gifts have been given, no matter what gifts are being used, He is still working as He wills. And He provides as He wants. And He accomplishes His own will. So do not neglect your gift, no matter what your gift is. And maybe you're unsure of what that gift is. Sometimes when you have a sense of a need and you seek to fulfill that need, perhaps God is giving you through the Spirit a gift at that point to enable you to fulfill that need. Don't wait to use your gift. Don't wait for someone to ask you to use your gift. Use your gift. Why? Because we need each other. And we need each other's gifts. Do not neglect it. He has provided every Christian with a special gift or even a special assortment of gifts. And He has a plan and a purpose for each one. So use the gifts that God has given to you. We need to use the gifts that God has given to us and the gifts that God has given to our church. I was thinking about some of the gifts, even about people, individuals within our church. God has given within our church people the gift of compassion. And that's a wonderful gift. God has given to people within our church the gift of prayer and the gift of giving, the gift of hospitality, the gift of encouragement, the gift of witnessing, the gift of service, the gift of teaching. You know, we could come up with our own list, couldn't we? But whatever gift or whatever gifts that we have and whatever measure in which we have them, we need to use them. And not neglect them. Why? Because using your gifts bring glory to God. Using your gifts bring glory to God. They bring glory to the Holy Spirit. He is the ultimate source of them, as we saw there in verse 4. They bring glory to Jesus Christ, who is the ultimate servant, as we saw there in verse 5. Our gifts will mirror His gifts. They bring glory to the Father, who is sovereign. And He shows His sovereignty and His power in how He can accomplish His will through all the great variety and differences that we see. There's different Christians, different gifts, different ministries, different results. And yet God is still able to accomplish His perfect plan. So as Paul told Timothy, neglect not your gift. Don't neglect it. Use it. Use it for His glory and for the growth and the benefit of the people in this church and for the spread of the gospel around the world. Neglect not your gift. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that You'll help us today to see that we may and probably don't have these gifts in our possession right now as a church, the gifts that we saw there in that passage. And that's okay. Because You give gifts to Your people and Your church as You desire to accomplish that which You please. So Lord, I pray that You'll help each one of us to remember those things. Remember that we have a gift as Christians. We have a gift. We may have one gift, we may have many. We may have an assortment of gifts. But we have at least one gift. And Lord, through that gift, I pray that we will not neglect the use of it. I pray that we will seek to find out what that gift is and to use that gift. Help us to remember that you have a plan for that gift, a purpose for that gift, and you provided that gift in order to work through this church to accomplish your will. And so, Lord, I pray that today we will strive as a church and as individual Christians to not neglect those gifts. And perhaps, Lord, this is our issue today. Perhaps, Lord, we have not been functioning as we should as a church because we haven't been using our gifts. Oh, Lord, I pray that you will help us to see them. And as we go through this chapter, that you will reveal them even more to us and then use them. To use them. Not neglect them, but realize that every gift is important. Every gift is useful. Every gift, no matter what the variety is, you are at work through to accomplish your plan and your will. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll help us to see our church, as a way for you to exercise your plan and to accomplish your will through the use of your gifts, the gifts that you've given to us. What an honor it is to serve you. And I thank you, Lord, that you've given us these gifts. Now, Lord, help us to use them. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.